strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show, KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
All right, this is a story we've talked about before. Grand Canyon University was fined $37.7 million for not telling the truth about how they were educating students and what it was going to cost them. They've been fighting this for a very long time. In a recent hearing on Capitol Hill, the education secretary was asked by a Democrat, Rosa DeLauro, why are they working on shutting down GCU? She called it a predatory for-profit school. The education secretary openly embraced their enforcement methods. I'm reading this from a news story, declaring, "We are cracking down not only to shut them down, but to send a message to not prey on students." Now, Grand Canyon University is a very popular university here in the Valley. Everyone I've ever talked to that has gone to or does attend Grand Canyon University is happy with their education. So to respond to these charges and to now what it appears to be the efforts to shut them down is the president of Grand Canyon University, Brian Mueller. Welcome back to the show.
Good. Thanks for having me. Good to be here.
I was really concerned when I read this. It sounds to me as if the Department of Education is more than fining you. It sounds like they want to shut you down. Have you known about this, or is this the first you've heard about this?
Well, number one, they can't do it. Our program participation agreement to participate in higher ed and Title IV funding has just been renewed, and they renewed it. And so, number one, they can't do that. And so that was a misstatement. Why he made that statement, I don't know, except that we think that it was not scripted and he went off script, and he was in front of a congressional hearing. He was talking to his Democratic friends, and he's just started pounding his chest about this $37 million fine. Now, keep in mind that they're only allegations. Nothing has been proven, and we vehemently deny it. And what they're saying applies to less than 5% of our students. It has to do with our doctoral students and the time and cost to complete a doctoral degree, which we are leaders in terms of transparency with regards to that. In fact, just recently, the federal VA asked the local VA here in Arizona to look into those same documents, that same communication. And now for a third time, a separate group has looked at the identical materials and said there are zero findings here. There are no problems here. Just like the Higher Learning Commission said, their communication with regards to their doctoral program cost and time are thorough and robust. And there are two court cases that said the same thing. And so the important thing here is number one, they can't do it. Our program participation agreement has just been renewed. And number two, this is a small group of people in Washington, D.C., whose feelings and accusations are not corroborated by anybody. We have 26 regulatory bodies that oversee what we do, and we're in the highest standing with every single one of them, including accrediting bodies for our individual programs, the state of Arizona, et cetera, et cetera. So this is an ideological group of people. It's a small group, and they don't like the fact that the largest university, private university in the country now, is a Christian university. It has more reach into the culture than any probably university in the country, and soon it will be the largest university in the country. And we teach from a Christian worldview perspective, and that is something that ideologically they're opposed to. And so they're using this route of they lied to students, which, number one, it's not corroborated by anybody, and number two, it hasn't been proven. There's an appeal process that's in place right now, but now what we know is that appeal process is a sham, because the people that are hearing the appeal report to the person that just made those comments yesterday. And so this thing has really gotten murky now.
So when you look at the totality of this, because here in the Valley, Grand Canyon University has an impeccable reputation. What you have done to revitalize the neighborhood in which you exist, and I've watched this happen since the very beginning, it is an amazing revitalization of that neighborhood. The growth on that campus, the growth in online enrollment, the addition of names like Jerry Colangelo, what you've done with your sports programs has shown nothing in Arizona but really good things. But are you concerned about the reputation that Reed headlines outside of the Valley with your online enrollment? Is there any pushback? Are you getting negative feedback from people because they're concerned because the Department of Education is saying these things?
You know, you would think so, and we keep watching for that, but there's no sign of that. If you go and read the comments that follow the article, and I was very disappointed with the article. Fox News was really, really disappointing. Not Fox News, but that particular journalist, very disappointing in how he presented that stuff. But the answer is no. We've had 14,000 high school seniors from across the country visit this campus this year, which is an all-time record. And we've got the next 30 days, we have thousands more visiting. The appetite for what we do has never been higher than it is right now. And if you read the comments below the article, 95% of them see it for exactly what it is, which is the weaponization of a federal agency in order to proliferate an ideology that we stand directly opposed to. And the interesting about Arizona is, you know, we have tried to be very politically neutral in everything that we do. We're educators. We're a university. We've got support in Arizona on the Republican side. We've got it on the Democrat side. So anybody that's been here and that has looked at us and evaluated us has come away with the same talking points you just iterated. The interesting thing about the Department of Education is they refuse to come. I've invited them at our expense, and not only the department. I've invited Elizabeth Warren and Dick Durbin and others who have made disparaging comments to come at our expense and talk to anybody that they want to, spend time on the campus, talk. They absolutely refuse to do that because they know what they're going to see, and what they're going to see doesn't fit their narrative.
You said that the appeals process is a sham because they're reporting back to the person making the accusations. So if you go through and when you go through the appeals process and it's exhausted, if you don't get relief, what are your options? Do you have to pay the $37.7 million or do you fight it somewhere else?
Oh, we will. We're very much hoping and have a reason to believe that the Supreme Court will hear this. We've hired Paul Clement, who's argued over 100 times in front of the Supreme Court for conservative causes. He was the person who had the Hobby Lobby case. He's also the person who had the case with the high school football coach who was praying after games. He won both those cases. So he's been hired. He's on our team. He looked at this thing and he said he absolutely wanted to be part of this team and he wanted to be involved in what's going on here. And so there is, a tremendous amount of support everywhere. Almost everywhere I go now, including to Spokane 2 weekends ago when we were in the NCAA tournament, I get stopped by perfect strangers saying, don't give in to these people. We see it for exactly what it is. It's if we were a small little college with 2,000 students on it, and we didn't have the depth and reach into the culture that we do, this wouldn't be going on. This is all a political agenda driven by some ideologues in Washington, D.C.
Well, I want to thank you again for coming on. I hope you'll come back and we continue as this goes through the process to talk more about it. But congratulations to all the success. And let's talk about that first NCAA victory. What a great thing to see GCU win its first game in that tournament. And hopefully it's not the end of the road. They continue to grow in that aspect. And your other program, baseball team's playing amazing right now. I've had the coach on from the women's rugby team. You're doing great things there athletically, too.
Oh, things are just, we've got 26,000 students on this campus. They're pouring into this neighborhood every day. Go down to St. Paul's, St. Vincent de Paul Homeless Shelter on Monday morning. You'll see almost half the volunteers are going to be GCU students. And that's replicated 100 times throughout this community every week. Yeah, you're right. Our athletic programs are just, they're on fire. I mean, we just had 2 nights ago, Arizona was here to play our baseball team. We won. Arizona State was here to play our softball team. We won that game. Our tennis team. I mean, it's just now things are going well. They couldn't be going better. Students absolutely love this place. Parents especially love this place. And they're not going to whether he intended to make those comments in order to disparage us, or whether they just came out at a period of time where he was feeling some level of bravado because he had his I'm not sure what it was, but to this point, it's had absolutely zero impact. And I mean, now that what he said is serious, and so we will be we're considering right now what, you know, the ramification issue should be. But to this point, it's had no impact on what's going on here.
Well, I look forward to our next conversation, and thanks for doing this today.
Yes, thanks for having me. I appreciate it very much.
All right, that is Brian Mueller. He is the president of Grand Canyon University. The accusations in the Department of Education saying they are going to shut them down. Mr. Mueller saying they can't do it, and that this is more just more talk. Coming up in a moment, we catch you up on the biggest news stories of the day with a segment we call Did You Hear This?
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
All right, what are our biggest news stories of the day? Let's find out. Did you hear this?
Did you hear this? Broomhead's reaction to the hottest news stories.
The Department of Education recently said that Grand Canyon University is a predatory for-profit school. GCU President Brian Mueller joined the show and responded to those comments.
And we teach from a Christian worldview perspective, and that is something that ideologically they are opposed to, and so they're using this route of they lied to students, which, number one, it's not corroborated by anybody, and number two, it hasn't been proven.
Is there a political agenda against GCU?
I'll be honest, I don't know that. I know Mr. Mueller. I've talked to him many times over the years. I've got a lot of respect for him and the growth at GCU, and I know that's what he believes. I don't think he's lying, but I don't know what the reasons are. But when the head of the Department of Education says in congressional testimony that not only are they going to fine them in this $37.7 million, but they are going to shut them down to send a message, everybody should be concerned about that, because they're talking about something that is such a small piece of what GCU does, and GCU says it's absolutely not true. They've invited members of Congress. They've invited people from the Department of Education at the expense of the university to come and see for themselves, and nobody will show up. It does sound like there's some kind of an agenda. I don't know what that agenda is, but he seems to believe it's because of an ideological difference, and I'm glad he talked about it on the show, because I'd like to see GCU continue to flourish.
Jury selection continues in the New York hush money trial of former President Trump.
The court delivering statements to those jurors and notifying them of potential witnesses in the case. The judge then asking for a show of hands whether any of them believe they could not be fair and impartial. 48 people, about half the pool, raised their hands and were dismissed.
How can the judge ensure that Trump receives a fair trial?
That's got to be a big difficulty. It is very difficult to find someone that doesn't have very strong opinions about Donald Trump, one way or the other. And he is a polarizing figure. He is a household name as a former president. He was a household name as a celebrity and a billionaire real estate investor. And he had parlayed all of that into a very famous time on The Apprentice and other things he's done. So it's going to be difficult to find anybody that doesn't have a strong opinion. So are they going to be able to say, I can set my opinions aside and be fair and look at the material impartially? That's what they're going to have to try to do in order to get a fair trial here, one way or the other. And I don't know if it's achievable. And if someone were to convict the former president, isn't it grounds then for appeal to say there's no way that was a fair trial? It puts them in a bad spot. You are listening to Did You Hear This? We do it every day at 11:20 to catch you up on the headlines.
The latest gambling crisis in pro sports singles out another player, this time in basketball. On Wednesday, the NBA announced a lifetime ban on Jonte Porter, a center for the Toronto Raptors.
He's accused of providing bettors with information about his own health, how he was feeling, and whether or not he would be able to participate. And so these other bettors had this information, this inside information, and placed as much as $80,000 on some bets that would feature Porter's statistics.
Has legalized sports betting helped to reduce these incidents from happening?
Yeah, I think this sends a clear signal that he hasn't been convicted of anything. The accusation alone has gotten him a lifetime ban by the NBA. The reason why they're taking this seriously is because of the multi-billion dollar industry that is gambling, but also it's the integrity of the NBA. It's the integrity of the game itself. So I think this is sending a clear message. You know, we heard earlier about Shohei Ohtani and what happened with his handler and his translator. There was no ban in that regard for what is deemed, what people are saying is the greatest player in baseball, but they have got to do something about this, because the ability to pay people off, whether it's officials or it's players, this has got to stop, because it's going to ruin the games for many people if they don't. And I think this sends a clear message that even the appearance of impropriety is not going to be tolerated.
Arizona Coyotes legend Shane Doan joined the show and reflected on the team's time in the Valley. Doan says he remains optimistic that this hockey's chapter isn't over in the state.
I believe that, and I have to believe that, and maybe it's just my optimism, but at the same time, I think that that's legit, and there's a chance that it can be sooner than later.
How will you remember this chapter in Arizona hockey history?
Well, what's going on right now, I think it's sad. I hate to see them leave here. I do like the Coyotes. I am one of the people that is a fan of this, and Shane Doan is a big part of that. I became a hockey fan because of Shane Doan, and I got to meet Shane. I got to become casual friends with Shane. We've have a lot of common interests, and we've had spent some time together, and he's a good man, and he was a great representative of not only that team, but of hockey, but of his family as well. His son's got a great opportunity to follow in that footsteps as a great player and a great individual, and I'm sad that it's not going to be here in the Valley. So this chapter ending sadly, but as Shane said, hopefully it will open a door to something and a fresh start for the Coyotes in the future, and I think for the fans that kind of took it for granted, if we do get a team here again, maybe it will be embraced so that we keep it again the next time. So at least that's what I hope happens. Really good job today, Julia. A lot to talk about. Coming up in a moment, we are going to go back to the economy. We talked earlier about this. Two-thirds of baby boomers are not equipped and not ready for retirement. What is the overall economy and the economic prospects in the future? We'll talk about it next.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
This was one of the videos you watched MTV to wait for it to come on. Thanks for being here. Appreciate it. Got to listen to David Lee Roth a little bit, right?
Wow, man. Wait a second, man. What do you think the teacher's going to look like this year?
Give me something to write on, man. Thanks for being here. Appreciate you spending some time with us as we roll into our final half hour. I'm going to start in a different place. Two things we talked about twice today. We're going to keep talking about this. Two-thirds of boomers, 65, people that are turning 65 this year, two-thirds of them are not prepared for retirement, don't have enough money saved for retirement. That's a concern. Now, how much of that is self-induced? How much of that is economy induced? Right now, for the sake of this conversation, it doesn't matter that much, but it should be a warning sign to everyone. I think that what parents do, good parents do, is you prepare your children as best you can not to make the mistakes you made. Now, I was the obstinate child and I said this. This is how dumb I was. I said, I'm going to make my own mistakes. I'm going to pay for my own mistakes. I knew I was doing something stupid, but I did it anyway. So I look back on my younger years, and I did pay for my mistakes. I didn't ask anybody else to pick up the pieces for my mistakes. And I beg younger people now not to make the mistakes I made. And I know that sounds hypocritical, and it is. It's hypocritical. But if you look at that number at two-thirds of people, but what does that do to the overall economy? Because as those 65-year-olds, and 65 is not old now, 65, you know, because of medical advancements, people are living much longer. And so these are people that still have a lot of life left. So there's a lot of things that they can do. But if there isn't anything done, if they're not working, and it's difficult to be as good at your job, depending on what you do at 65 as you were at 45. But if you have people that are working longer. But what happens if they fall into the trap of now they become, they're in poverty because of whatever happened when they were younger. What does that do to the overall economy? Younger people learning that lesson and what it takes. And I've got a bunch of stories in front of me of what they're proposing to do. Ecuador is going to go to a 3-day work week. And I know people that have absolutely, and I think the world of them, and I wish I thought more like this, that have absolutely no concern for money whatsoever. Money doesn't dictate their happiness. As long as they have a roof over their head and a meal in their belly, they're happy with their life, and they would much rather focus on other things. And I admire that. I think it's a trait I admire. But I also admire the people that are never satisfied, that good isn't good enough, and I want to be better tomorrow than I am today. And it's not about chasing money, but it is about chasing excellence. I still believe that success wealth follows success, that if you are the best at something, wealth will follow. There are a lot of artists out there, people that can paint. There are great artists out there, but only the best become very wealthy. Restaurants, there's a lot of chefs. There are a lot of people that are qualified. They can cook, but only the brilliant ones become, you know, top rated, and they become wealthy. You can be an electrician or a plumber. If you're the best in town, you're probably going to be wealthy. I think there is a level of wealth that comes with success. So it's the people that chase excellence in whatever it is they're doing, whatever that passionate thing for you is. If you're chasing excellence and you become excellent at it, you're going to find wealth. I think that's a lesson for everybody to learn. But younger and younger people realizing the pitfalls of what life throws at you. If Ecuador is going to go to a 3-day work week, well, good for Ecuador, but that also gives opportunity for America and Americans. If you're willing to work longer, if you're willing to put in the overtime, if you're willing to do the extra thing and other people aren't, you're standing out. That's all it takes. Here's another story. It looks like Brazil has a proposal to tax the super rich, and it's gaining momentum at the G20 declaration in July. So when the G20 gets together, Brazil is proposing to tax the super rich, gained momentum on Wednesday with France financial minister and the head of the International Monetary Fund backing a coordinated push to generate new revenue and to build a more common future. Here is what I would say, and this is, for me, a political lesson in America. If you are part of the political party or the political ideology in the U.S. that believes the rich never pay their fair share and that it is okay to tax the rich because they don't need all of that money, and you can't imagine that kind of wealth and they shouldn't be able to hang on to it while other people are hungry, I would agree with you that people shouldn't be hungry in this country, but it's not taxing the wealthy that's going to do it. But this lesson here about a worldwide tax on wealthy people, if you're an American, you're wealthy based on a big chunk of this world. That many of you out there that would be considered not even in the middle class in America, the working class and the struggling working class, maybe even considered the working poor in America, you're wealthy on a big part of the world scale. Meaning, if they were to level these taxes on wealthy people, if the idea is the world is going to get together in an attempt to cure world hunger and poverty, they're going to tax wealthy nations. They're coming after you, too. And, you know, we have a lot of privilege in this country. And the idea that the average American household, it used to be TV sets, and it was always true that the average American household has more TVs in it than people, is true. In my house, I have two TVs in my house, two of them. And I live alone. But then when you factor in screens, I have a laptop, I have a phone. I've got four screens in my house and one person. The average American household has more screens in it than people. We have the working poor in America. Most of them have cell phones because technology is how you live your lives. We have a level here, and I'm not downplaying poverty or hunger, but it is different here than it is in other parts of the world because of the U.S. standard of living and what's acceptable and what isn't, and how the wealthy in this country and even the people that aren't wealthy are willing to help those in need. Hunger is different in other parts of the world. And if we start doing these kinds of things, and it's on the opposite end of the spectrum from what we've been talking about, what we've been talking about is how you prevent not being able to retire on time comfortably. We're talking about comfort in your older years. what we're talking about now are people at the lower end of the economic scale in America that still are better off than a big chunk of the world. And if we start buying into this idea that the rest of the world, we are going to have to start helping all over the world, and it's going to be a tax levied against us, that the federal government is going to collect taxes from people, whether it's the wealthy in America and that's how it starts or not, but they're going to take taxes and then put it into a world fund to help things around the world. I'm telling you that the working class in America is in for a rude awakening, because you're considered rich to a big chunk of this world, and they're coming after you too. All right, coming up in a few moments, like we do every day, someone from the Chris and Joe show jumps in to talk about what's coming up on their show. We'll have a little commentary on the biggest news stories of the day from my perspective and what they think the biggest stories are. That's coming up here in just a moment.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
All right, we are just about out of time. I'm one more day and I'm done with my work week. So we're rolling down that road. We talked about a lot here on the show today. So in studio with me from the Chris and Joe Show is Joe Huizenga. It's 2 to 4 here on KTAR News. Before I get to your top stories, maybe we'll cross them with what I'm going to ask you about, but two things.
Yeah.
And maybe not what you'd expect, but one of them, of course, has to be the Coyotes.
We have that on the radar for today.
How many memories? Like, with you, give me a memory. Do you have a memory? Are you sorry that they're leaving? Do you think this isn't a big deal?
I'm definitely bummed that they're leaving. I'm not brought to tears over it. Chris and I talked earlier in the week, though, about loss and grief, and we tried to open this up to everybody. And I guarantee you there's thousands of people in the Valley today who do feel a profound loss from this. And it doesn't have to be a loved one or a pet, something like that. Yeah, I'm bummed. Obviously, I grew up in Detroit. I'll own it. I'm a Red Wings fan. But guess what? I've lived in the Valley longer. I love the Coyotes.
I had every Thursday we do a segment with Luke Lipinski. Mm-hmm. From the Wolf and Luke show.
I'm familiar with him.
And,
is he a good guy?
He is a good guy.
Is he?
I have known Luke for 20 years.
Yeah.
Hard to believe I've known Luke that long, but I've known Luke for 20 years. Mm-hmm. But in the segment, we do it each week with him on Thursdays. We talk D-backs mostly. Today was about Coyotes. Mm-hmm. But I brought in, as a bit of a surprise, I brought in Shane Doan.
I know.
I
saw the write-up that your producer did on it.
The sadness in how mundane, you know, how he really, Shane did not sound himself.
Mm-hmm.
Deep. I mean, that's a big part of his life here.
I saw that there was one question that you asked, and I was reading the description that Julia writes up on it. And it was, first you asked about his son and how he should handle things. And Shane said basically, hey, embrace this.
Yeah.
I kind of went through the same thing coming from Winnipeg. But then there was a question you asked a few minutes later that touched on something about like, hey, how are you processing this? And Shane said something about like, hey, it's really tough because the Valley is home to me. And, you know, I've really come to embrace that.
He said, I could live anywhere. Yeah. And we chose here. It's where my family wants to live and my kids. And it was tough. All right. So the other thing is this. And I talked to Brian Mueller, who's the president of Grand Canyon.
I just saw that. Yep.
Yeah. Grand Canyon University has been fined $37.7 million by the Department of Education, and they're fighting it.
Yeah, and you've been all over that story.
Because I just am surprised. Well, in a hearing, the Secretary of Education said that he's going to shut them down.
Hmm.
And that's terrifying to me.
Can an education secretary shut down a school?
According to Brian Mueller, no. They said they've just been renewed with their money and everything else, that this is a fine. He goes, I don't know if the guy said that just
maybe
because
it's posturing.
It was the heat of the moment or whatever. But in a statement, a member of Congress asked him, are you pursuing shutting them down, called them a predatory institution?
Yeah.
And he said, yes, we're going to shut them down and send a message.
Hmm.
I just found that to be fascinating that emphatic of a statement was made, that their goal is to shut down the, you know, one of the largest universities in the country.
I am not as passionate about it as you are, but I don't like to see good things leave our Valley.
Yeah.
And even if it's as simple as, hey, here's what I know about GCU. I had a buddy who played lacrosse there. I would go and watch him play. He ended up giving back to the school and coaching for them for a while as well. Or the basketball team that's went on a couple fun March Madness runs. GCU is educating a lot of students out there. And I would hope that you consider thousands of students thousands of teachers, all of that, hundreds of teachers, not thousands. You consider all of that impact and you don't just shut it down because of a agenda or an axe to grind. Work through it and figure out a positive solution for everybody.
And let's add to the credibility of the university. Jerry Colangelo is not going to lend his name to the university if he feels that they're not credible or if they're stealing from students, if they're predatory.
Yeah.
All right. So what do you got coming up? What are the big things for you?
So coyotes for sure. We are also going to dive into abortion and everything that's going on there. Heidi Hommel was down at the Capitol yesterday and seeing all of that was going on. I mean, the legislature, they're working tirelessly on this right now, Mike. They're one day a week. They are diving into this. So they will be back again next week. But Heidi was down there with them yesterday as they were neck deep in all of this. So we're going to hear from Heidi and then also talk with Barry about it, our legal expert who has some thoughts and opinions. And there was one thing that I saw that was really interesting. Attorney General Chris Mays was saying that she has reached out to the California AG. Did you see this at
all? No, I did not.
To reach out to the California AG, and I don't have it in front of me here, so I'm going to paraphrase, but loosely to see if we could get like emergency authorization to have like California, I'm not sure if it would be doctors or facilities set up here in Arizona under a California authorization. And she was looking into this. I don't have the sentence in front of me, but I was very intrigued by what she's going to try to do there.
There were huge protests and gatherings outside and inside as pro-life members were
so
inside.
Praying in the gallery.
Yeah, yeah. And then outside that were the big, so this is obviously a passionate topic on both sides of the issue.
Oh, yes.
So it'll be good to be hearing what's going on. So I look forward to it. The Chris and Joe Show happens here on KTAR News from 2 to 4 p.m. Make sure you're here for that. You can find all of us on the podcast at KTAR.com. Download the KTAR News app. Subscribe to the KTAR News YouTube channel. That's the way you can make sure you're listening any way that you can, anytime you want. I'll be back tomorrow morning at just after 8 a.m. for another edition of the show. We do it every day from 8 to noon. So I appreciate you spending some time with me today. Thanks for listening as often as you can. And I hope you'll check us out again tomorrow. So until tomorrow, everyone, God bless.